Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, happy Monday and welcome to another Gear Garage Live Show. This is where I get on the internet once a week and just answer questions that were submitted. There's only one question, so this may be a very quick show. If you're watching and do have questions, please put them in the comments or things you just want to talk about. I'm going to answer my one question and then talk about the big event this last weekend, the Upper Wind Whitewater Festival, and we'll call that a show. So let's get to the first question. This person asks, I'm a seasoned paddler and have many years on the sticks, comfortable in four. My question is, do you offer an option to boat with or lead a fella down a new section of water, call it a private lesson? Thanks. Yeah, we actually do this quite a bit. Usually it's not just guiding. Usually there's an educational component, but it sounds like you just want to like somebody to take you boating or be safety or show you a new river. There's a lot of limitations though. One of them is just commercial permits. I can only operate on rivers I have a special use permit on. So for me, that's the White Salmon, the Clackamas, some multi-day trips that we do. But there's also rivers that aren't on public land that I can operate on. So like parts of the Klickitat, the Hood, the Wind, some other stuff. But if it's on public land and I have a permit, I just can't do it, unfortunately. That's just how the world works. Also, when people do this, sign up for classes even, I'm lied to quite a bit. Not lied to, maybe like, lied to is a strong word. Maybe people overestimate their ability. They give me a long list of rivers they went on or did, and I boat with them, and I'm like, there's no way you survive those rivers seeing their boating. And so when somebody says they're comfortable for that, I don't know what that means, let's be honest with you. I've been told that many times, and I go, let's go jump on a four, and it's dangerous. And so before I do anything challenging with somebody, we'll definitely start a step down, get to know them, see their boating, probably work on some things. Like if I'm going to also go out with somebody, that person's my safety as well. Like we're a two-person safety unit. So I can only also take people on rivers that I'm comfortable doing with just two boats, me and one person. And again, my safety is part of this too. So in the initial day or two or whatever, we're going to work on like boat spacing, boat order, pulling people in potentially, just so that like if I swam, I know the person I'm with, I'm guiding, can help me, and vice versa. So we do it, but it's not as just like, you don't just pick a river and we go do it. It's a little more complicated than that. And I'm a little gun shy to people telling me their experience. Same thing on the Middle Fork of the Salmon. People want to row their own boats and I've run this and that, and I've done this. And then they show up and they can't keep up with the group. They get stuck all the time. They cut us off. They cut duckies off. They do things that are dangerous. And so people have done class four rapids. It doesn't mean they're a class four boater. And I'm in the middle of teaching our class four schools right now. And I keep telling that to our students over and over and over. Just because you floated down a class four rapid doesn't mean you make you a class four boater. Somebody who I learned from early on told me even a log can run class five. It doesn't make a log a class five boater. And I think that's super true. And class four skills to me are not like, ooh, I made it through the rapid. Class four skills are maintaining boat spacing, looking back, providing downstream safety, being able to pull people into a boat, being able to reflip your boat, being able to self-rescue, being able to scout, experience with a throw bag. There's a bazillion things to me that make people class four boating that are not just, I can float down a class four, right? Like I'm good at class four. Great. Are you good at class four? And can you look out for others you're with at the same time? I think that's the important thing. So sorry, I went on a little tangent, but yeah, if you're interested, send my office an email, say, hey, here's what I want to do. This kind of thing sounds fun to me, but understand when you say you're comfortable for what you think is comfortable for may not be what I define as comfortable for. So we'd start on something a little easier to determine where that is. Okay, cool. That's the only question for the week. I do want to talk about Clackfest because it happened yesterday. And I already know like there's a little bit of video out. And first of all, this is put on by Scott, Michael, and a bazillion volunteers. It's a sweet festival. Tons of people show up. The river was high this year. So, you know, we had, I think it was 7.2, 7.3 feet, and it was high for that level. Like this creek that comes in our river, right, Trout Creek, was pumping. So it was a big 7.3, which kept a lot of people away. But there were still probably like 40, 50 kayakers. There was 12 catboats racing, another 5 catboats there for safety. I think there was maybe like 10, 15 R2 racers. It was really well attended given the high level. I bet there would have been 30, 40, 50% more people if it was a nice chill 5.5 feet instead of 7.3. But really solid people coming. And I just can't thank enough Scott and all the volunteers. Chris, who managed the parking, which was a thankless job. Chris was yelling at people all the time, like, move your car, do this, do that. And, like, that's needed because people are dumb about parking, unfortunately. But just really well-run event, great party afterwards. This isn't a whole weekend event. This is, like, show up in the morning, do a race, go get some food at Backwoods Brewing afterwards, celebrate the community. That's what the event is. I take part in the cat race. When you start the cat race, it's 12 cats head-to-head. That's how it is. So you draw a card, and the high card gets better starting position. So last year I drew a 3. I started the back. That was kind of a bummer. This year I drew an ace, so I got to start at the front. So I got to just get in the front and not have to battle my way up to the front. And Jesse Fisher, who also Jesse Fisher owns Class 5 Raft Frames, Class 5 Adventure Gear, I believe. It was Class 5 out of Boise. He makes probably the best cat frame out there right now. He put $250 on the event. So the winner gets $250. I put $100. So there's a $350 purse out there. I think that's what's bringing the people out to the event. A lot of cat boaters, a little bit of cash purse, a little bit of shit talking beforehand. And having 12 racers was killer. And I have some video to share with you all. I just still, like, if you don't know, I did win the race. I just got ahead of the group and stayed ahead. And while everybody else battled it out, if I had started towards the middle of the pack, this was a pretty stacked. I mean, there were some fast boaters in here. I didn't win handily, but I didn't have to fight. Like, everybody was surprisingly close to me, given that I got to just blow ahead of everybody. So let's watch the video. Somebody put on this GoPro page. Somebody shared this with me. This is the video. And for those of you that don't know the river, this is Ram's Horn. It's the end of a long section of whitewater, probably the hardest rapid of the run. At this level, I think initiation is maybe harder, but pretty legit. People go to come down to take photos, do safety, get out. Look at the cameras, lots of video. That's me coming down. Pretty stoked on my line. And, you know, when you're racing, you're trying to pull as much as you can. You're pull stronger. So a lot of the rapids, if you're nervous, you go through forward and then turn around and pull. And then the other catboats who had been back for the past, like, I don't know, 8 minutes, have been battling each other, pushing each other into eddies, running into each other. Here they come all together. I can't remember how the blue boat finished. I think the blue boat might have been third. That's Greg Babakoff, he got fourth. And here Jesse passes this guy, I forget his name. But Jesse ended up second. So Jesse ended up passing those guys and was surprisingly close. I want to go back to, I watched this earlier. I just want to share one thing here with this video. It's Greg. Greg and Jesse flipped here last year. So I want to watch the orange boat. And I want to point out that, like, the majority of the people in this race were running pins and clips. And I know a lot of you were like, pins and clips are dumb. They're old technology, whatever, new technology, whatever they are. A lot of people hate on pins and clips. And those of you that know, I'm a pretty big advocate of pins and clips for the right situation. For class 4 plus, for class 5, for the wind, I much rather have pins and clips. And one of the biggest advantages that I don't think people realize is they help you stay in the boat. So if you watch this dude right now, he's holding onto his oar as he's getting tossed to his right. If he had spinnies, he'd be out of his boat. The number of times I watch people with spinnies, their oar just goes and they fall off the side of the boat or they let go of their oar. But because he had pins and clips and he's experienced with them, he holds on to his oar, never lets go of the oar once. Not once. That is good, solid boating. You're going to get in boating when you're on the river. You're going to take some hits. So watch this again. He takes a nice big hit there, gets thrown to the right, holds onto his oar the whole time, doesn't let go, and keeps going. Maybe he wouldn't have fallen out. I guess that's, you know, my guess. But, like, I really believe in the power of Pins Eclipse for to stay in the boat, just literally to be able to handle big hits and stay in the boat. Again, there's Pins Eclipse right there, holding onto the oars. You'll notice a lot of people that run spinnies let go of their oars and grab the frame because the oars aren't providing them stability. Or they throw the handles forward and grab the frame. Or they just let go for whatever reason. People that run Pins Eclipse tend to hold on to their oars the whole time. You need your oars. They're how you control the boat. And so here comes Sam. Same thing. Pins Eclipse. Holding on to his oars like a boss. Yeah. So anyway, I think a few people ran spinnies in the race. They didn't win. I think maybe somebody was spinnies placed, but I think we were talking about this at the put in on a race in particular, you don't need the extra thinking about your blade pace. You just want your blades to work and be able to pull or push as fast as you can. This might be Orlocks. It looks like Orlocks. Yeah. It'd be kind of funny if these were all the Orlocks coming down. Let's see, it would say something. That's Orlocks, it looks like. That's Orlocks, it looks like. And Orlocks. So, I mean, I don't want to make any crazy claims here, but if the first half of the boats that were winning all had Pins Eclipse, and the second half that were not winning all had Orlocks, more or less, that does say something, right? Like, I'm not crazy. There's, like, some correlation there between, like, the voters that are, I don't know, doing better generally at Pins Eclipse. Just throwing it out there. You can make your own decisions. The results, I don't know where they're posted. There is a, Upper Wind White. There is a website. Let's see if we can find it. For the festival, they probably haven't posted the results anywhere. I haven't seen them post anywhere. That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure if they will. There is, I know the Oregon Rafting Team, they like to keep track of the results for the raft racing. Wait a minute. The Oregon Rafting Team is 2024 national champions. I didn't know that. That's cool. Interesting. They have a 2025 RGP point standing. And it looks like they haven't added the wind yet. I don't know. They probably won't add the cap loading. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what the results are. But I know in the capo division, I got first, and then Jesse Fisher got second. And I'm not sure who got third. I forgot who got third. But it's a fun race. And for those of you that like to boat harder rivers, that like, you know, challenges, it's a really fun event. It's hard. The river's hard. It's a little dangerous. You want to be careful. And the next big event coming up, was there anything before now in Clydefest? The next event that I really like to go to and I'm planning on being at is the Upper Clackamas Whitewater Festival. Let's see, Upper Clackamas Whitewater Festival, and that's usually the third weekend in May. That's easier whitewater, and it's a whole weekend. It's 3 days. It's 52 days away, May 16th, 17th, and 18th. If you're really into boating, I highly recommend coming. It's an awesome festival. There's races. You can watch the races. You can do laps. Like the wind, you can only do one lap. Like you could do two if you wanted to, but like, there's only time to do one race, so you get to choose R2 race or capo race or kayak. At the Clackamas, races are happening every half an hour. You can just do laps and do all the races you want, ducky, sup, R2, R4. I don't even look to see the event schedule. Whitewater polo, what? That's cool. Whoa, that sounds fun. Anyway, R4 mass start, cataract slalom, pack raft, IK, or boat slalom is my favorite event. archery mass start, men's and women's, short boat down kayaks, canoe. And I did the canoe race one year. I borrowed a canoe and swam. It was hard. Paddleboard, R4 slalom, kayak slalom cross, IK slalom, IK inflatable kayak, and packhouse slalom. All right. There's a lot of races. R4 downriver, kayak longboats, sup squatch downriver, and the club float river parade. So, yeah, a lot of events, lots of races. It's a full weekend of things to do. A lot of great sponsors, and there's tons of vendors. One great thing about Clackfest is all the companies come. Like, you will usually, I don't know if I see what this says here, but usually there's Air, Good Water, whatever, Happy Paddling, Stolquist, Aquabound, Sawyer, Go Light Outdoors. And Neil will be there with his lightweight boat, Sotar, Oregon River Gear, Alpaca, Cocopelli, and more. And so usually there's like a bunch of raft manufacturers, a bunch of frame manufacturers, a bunch of gear companies. They all get together. You can demo gear. You can see the latest gear. It's just a great event. So I'm looking forward to it. It's coming up here pretty soon. And it's really a gathering of the community. If you're not racing, that's just a thing that happens. Like, it's not just about the race. It's about the gathering of the community. It's about going boarding with your friends. It's about hanging around the campfire, telling stories in the evenings. And so, yeah. Anyway, I highly recommend checking out Clackfest in May if you're in the idea festivals. Okay, I got a couple comments here. I'm going to shut this episode down. Third had oarlocks. Yeah, no, a third. Yeah, that's true. Did third in the video. I don't think that person ended up third. They might have. But let's say like of the top six, one had oarlocks. And then all the ending. I mean, there's definitely a theme, right? There's a pattern. In the top half, the vast majority have Bins Eclipse. And in the second half, the vast majority had oarlocks. Just saying. Seeing the orites with bungee cord retention. We talked about it that morning. I don't think anybody did. I think one person did. It's a sweet system. And for those of you that don't know what this is, you run orites, and it's like Pins Eclipse keep you in the boat. Well, this is like using your spinnies, or you usually have orites, and there's a little bungee cord that goes from your oar to your oar tower. So if you went out, it kind of holds you in the boat. And that's what, you know, Dave Nissen, Will Conley, Ted Day, when they were running the hardest stuff in the world, when those guys were just getting after it all the time, they were running these bungee things and just crushing it. So, yeah. Thanks for the comment, Bruce. Good to see your name. We're just finishing up our last class four school this coming week. And I was just thinking about you the other day. How we did a few of these classes together. Well, thank you, everybody, for watching. And next Monday, we probably won't have a show. Maybe there may not be a show next week, but I'll try to get one soon after that. Thanks for watching. See you all next time we have an episode. Bye.